want to talk for a few minutes today about welcoming the presence of the Lord, because there's things that we can do that welcome him, like worship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are my rock. You are my rock. You are the Lord. Jesus reigns on high in all the earth. Jesus reigns on high in all the earth. Jesus reigns on high in all the earth. The universe is in the hands of the Lord. Praise God. Okay, I'm going to talk for a few minutes, everybody, about welcoming the presence of the Lord. I was talking the other day about, you know, the presence of the Lord. He comes literally into geographic locations, not just that his Spirit dwells in us and we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That is awesome. But then he also fills up physical space. His Spirit can come. He comes, and that's the story throughout the Bible. He comes. Man, oh man, it's so amazing. And how can we experience that? You know, King David said how he longed for the presence of God. He longed to be in the tabernacle. He thirsted after the presence of the Lord. And there's things that you can do, and I'm just going to share them with you a little bit. One, first of all, is desire. Psalm 42, here's David talking about this. Desire, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants after you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go to meet with God? See, he's talking about him coming, meeting, getting together somehow. And wow, thirst, desire, that's number one. It's desiring the Lord. You have a desire for God. You thirst after God. Now, you might say, well, I don't really feel that. Well, here's the thing that can happen. You see, it's weird how stuff works. This is like a natural thing and a supernatural thing. When you focus your attention enough on something, you start to desire it. I mean, try it out. If you've got something you were thinking about buying, you keep focusing your attention on it, you'll really want it a lot. If you ignore it, you'll kind of forget about it. Isn't that right? So that's exactly the way it works. We start to focus our attention on God. We spend the time with God. And we long, we yearn for him. Psalm 84, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. He's talking about the place where God would come. My soul yearns, even faints, for these courts of the Lord. And then Psalm 27, verse 8 says, my heart says, seek his face. So your face, O Lord, I will seek. Desire. Have you got desire for God? You hunger and thirsting after the Lord? Let's start there. You can stir that up. You can stir that desire up. You can start today. Instead of, spending all your time watching the TV or something, turn it off and spend a little bit of time with God. Spend a little bit of time in prayer. Get focused on the Word of God. Read a little bit. Start to get your attention over on God. Or if you have the TV on, turn on something, you know, about the revival that's going on down at Asbury College there in Kentucky. Okay? That's number one. Number two, that's so important, is dedication to God. Like James, this is in the New Testament, James 4:8, he says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. So you got the desire, you're doing number one. Number two is, come near to God, he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. As you come near to God, something starts to happen. God will start talking to you and showing you things that you need to deal with in your life. There could be conviction of sin. He starts to want to straighten out your life so that there's consecration, the Bible talks about. You know, Moses would say to the children of Israel, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow we will meet with the Lord. Right? What did that mean? They wouldn't touch anything that was common and unclean. They set aside the time. They set aside their life. They made a dedication of something in their life or their life to God. They consecrated themselves. And if there was anything sinful or impure, they removed it. They made sure they didn't have any of it in their life. So that's the second thing about coming near to God, drawing near to his presence, getting in his presence, consecration to God. So important it is. And have you got God talking to you about something that you ought to be doing and you're not doing? Or something that you ought to stop doing and you are doing? You see, those are the sorts of things that go on with consecration to God. I know I've got, you know, a whole bunch of stories of different areas of my life that I consecrated to God. There was years ago, I mean, I've always been kind of a techie guy, but I started getting into electronic musical instruments and keyboards and stuff. And I found I was skipping from one to the next to the next. I'd become obsessed with it. And after a while, I realized that these things were obsessing me. My thoughts were always preoccupied with them. I had I believe it was called the Electronic Keyboard Magazine or something coming by subscription, and I'd keep on focusing on this stuff all the time. And I was getting obsessed. I saw it was pushing God out of my life, and it was in my life. And what I noticed was I would buy one piece of equipment, and then I wouldn't even get to learn how to use it. I was lusting for the next one and the next one. And when I realized that, the Holy Spirit was talking to me. He said, you've got to stop. You've got to consecrate your life to me again. Look what you're doing. And I saw and I agreed with him. And so I repented. And I found that what I had to do was actually cancel my subscription to that magazine and stop doing what I was doing about lusting after equipment. I repented. I canceled the subscription so I wouldn't be setting my eyes on that stuff over and over again every month as the subscription came. And it stopped. My dedication to God came back. My thoughts about the Lord came back. You have to consecrate yourself. So first you have the desire. Second, you have the consecration. And third, you begin to worship him. You take the time with the Lord and worship. Now, worship and praise does something about coming near to the Lord. There's something definitely special about it. God, the Bible says, God inhabits the praises of Israel, his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. When you begin to praise and worship God, God comes and his spirit starts to fill the atmosphere. Now, he inhabits us when you're born again. His spirit comes into your spirit. And a lot of times we don't even let him out. He's kind of trapped in there. But as you start to praise, something happens in your spirit. It rises up and flows through you. That praise is sound in the atmosphere. And because we have the Holy Spirit, the praise actually ascends up into heaven to the throne of God. Now, you don't see all this going on most of the time, but it's actually happening. And as you worship and praise God, you can begin to feel what he says he would do is he begins to feel the atmosphere. He fills the atmosphere. He inhabits the praises of his people. And as that takes place, there starts to be a portal or an opening from heaven to earth right over top of you. Isn't that amazing? He starts to pour down on you as you are lifting up praise to him. It can literally transform and move on into glory. So glory, the praise and worship is such an important thing that you devote yourself to it. And, you know, I noticed as a pastor over many years in the church, you know, I'd be leading worship and praise and half the people would stand there like stones. And they'd wonder why they're not enjoying the worship. They wonder why they're not feeling anything. Some people would getting blessed like crazy and other ones are just standing there like stones. And I would say to them, make a choice. Enter in. You choose. We initiate in this thing. He might be trying to prompt us, but we decide to do it. That's why in the Bible, you know, talks about, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Like he's talking about going into the temple of the Lord to worship. I will. And that those words are a decision of the will. I will worship the Lord. And sometimes, even in hard times and bad times and difficult things, we make the choice, I will thank God. I will praise God. I will seek his face. That's what he says in that scripture. My heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Psalm 27. And so we begin entering by worship and glorifying the Lord that way. And then something wonderful happens, and this is part four. We come by the blood of Jesus to the holy place of heaven. You know, on earth, when they had the temple, they would have the sacrifices and such, but the God's presence was on the holy, in the most holy place, which was inaccessible behind the curtain, on the mercy seat above the ark. The ark had the law of God. The mercy seat above it was where God's presence dwelled in his mercy, higher than the law. And then there was a curtain there, and on the priest side of the curtain, there was a table of shewbread where there was fellowship with God. There was worshiping and incense. Our hands lifted up is like incense to the Lord. And there was the light from the candle, the seven-branch candlestick, which was like the light of the Holy Spirit. And then outside was the people in the courtyard where the sacrifices were offered. All this of symbolic of the true tabernacle, the true tent, the true place in heaven where Jesus is, sat down as our high priest in the most holy place of heaven. Hebrews 10 says we can gradually go into this step. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, the place of heaven, let us draw near to God. We draw near with sincere heart, full assurance that faith brings. Have our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. That's where we're heading in our communion with God, that we actually commune with him and enjoy his presence. Now, I want to pray with you that you'd be motivated and moved and encouraged in Jesus' name to step past this, to come in drawing near to the Lord. Father, I'm praying that desire would start to fill the hearts of my listeners, desire for the Lord. That's what's happening in this revival in Asbury College and other places. Desire is filling these students. Desire for God. They're spending time with God. Desire would fill your heart right now, that you wouldn't leave it alone, and that you'd hunger and thirst for the Lord, and then that would move you to the next step. Lord, I pray that they'd be bold and dedicate and consecrate our lives to the Lord, to you, Lord. I pray for boldness to confront sin in ourselves, our boldness to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit and say, yes, Lord, that's right, and to change what needs changing so our lives are consecrated to you. It may not even be a bad thing, but it's an extra thing that God says you don't need. Don't do that. Don't live that way. Don't keep that thing or whatever. It's just redundant, and it's in the way. It doesn't have to be sin and vile. It could be just something he doesn't want you to have because you're following him. Whatever it is, consecrate your life to the Lord. I am yours, O God. My life belongs to you, O God. I live for you, O God. Show me and I'll follow after you. And then you begin to worship the Lord. Father, I pray the worship would be beautiful, anointed, wonderful. We begin to say, yes, Lord, and we enter in to that most holy place. May you be blessed as you desire and seek the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.